Have you ever noticed how we say things that we have a general idea of what they mean, but when it really comes down to explaining the details, it might be a little more confusing? For example, you meet somebody and you want to encourage them and you use the phrase, hang in there. You know, what does it mean to hang in there? You know, I mean, we know that it means to kind of endure, but how do you get that from hanging in there? Or you tell somebody that when they're going to go to sleep at night, you say, sleep tight. You know, what does that mean? You know, to curl up in this little ball and sleep tight all night long? I mean, we say it and we have this idea of what it means, but how do you explain it? Make ends meet. I mean, we know what it means, but how do you describe it in detail? We do the same thing in the church. We have these phrases, I think, that we know what it means, like receive Christ. Okay? I mean, that's a biblical phrase. John says, for as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the sons of God. But what does it mean to receive Christ, to literally explain it in detail? To put on the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. What does that look like? How do you describe it? Or something that's very, very important, to walk by faith. Again, Hebrews chapter 11 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So what does it mean to walk by faith? In the closing verses of Habakkuk, the passage we're going to look at today, well, let's back up a little bit. In chapter 2 in Habakkuk, God told him that the righteous will live by faith. And Habakkuk has kind of gone through this give and take with God about his complaint about the way things were in the nation. And God says, no, this is what I'm going to do about it. And Habakkuk didn't like God's solution. And so God gives him some more details, and then finally Habakkuk prays, and then at the close of his prayer, we see how Habakkuk really has determined that he's going to live by faith. Again, if the righteous are going to live by faith, this is what Habakkuk is going to do. And as we read these last four verses in the book, I think we see in detail what it means to literally walk by faith. It's the conclusion that Habakkuk has reached, and it is something I think that each one of us can apply to our lives. So let's stand and read Habakkuk chapter 3, 16 through 19. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go to the heights. Thank you. You may sit down. Remember, Habakkuk started out by complaining to God about the lack of faith that there was in the nation of Israel. More technically, the nation of Judah. He says, God, when are you going to do something? Look around. Things are just terrible. And God says, I'm going to do something. I'm going to send the Babylonians as the tool of my judgment. Habakkuk heard that, and he immediately says, God, how can you do that? They're worse than we are. And then God went into detail in chapter 2 explaining about how he was also going to judge the Babylonians. They're not getting off scot-free either. And so then in chapter 3, Habakkuk prays. He recalls God's faithfulness throughout the past. And he comes to the conclusion that, yes, God has been faithful so far. We can trust him to be faithful even through these difficult times that are coming. But when Habakkuk hears the news about the Babylonians being the tool of God's judgment, Look at his response in verse 16. He says that his heart pounded, his lips quivered, decay entered his bones. He was physically weak, and his legs trembled. He was unable to stand. Have you ever been afraid? Have you ever found yourself in a situation that you feel totally overwhelmed by? I've had a few of those in my life. I remember at Multnomah, every year they would choose two students, one from each of the advanced homiletics class, that would have to preach to the student body at a chapel at the end of the year. And unfortunately, I was chosen to be one of those people. And I remember standing up in Central Bible Church with, I don't know, back then there were maybe like 700 students at Multnomah, and the teachers, and having to get up and preach a sermon before a jury of my peers. And I remember walking up onto the platform and trying to speak, and there were just the corners of my lips would just not cooperate, and words didn't come out too freely. Fear immobilizes us. The first sermon that I ever, or first funeral that I ever did was for a Washington State patrolman who was killed in the line of duty. Standing before over 2,000 policemen to deliver a homily was very, very intimidating. And I remember walking up again and just feeling like, you know, I'm shaking, and my heart pounding, wondering what, you know, am I really going to be able to say anything to the people who have gathered to grieve? This is like what Habakkuk was feeling when he heard that the Babylonians were coming. This is much more challenging than, have you ever gotten a letter from the IRS that says, we've found some problems with your return? You know, maybe your heart starts to pound. What Habakkuk heard was more intimidating than that. It's more intimidating than having a conversation with your doctor about a serious illness, although that may make you weak. It's more intimidating than having a meeting with your boss where he says that they're having to cut back and your job is no longer going to continue. These things impact us individually. What God told Habakkuk is that the Babylonians were coming, and it's going to impact the entire nation and you individually. And Habakkuk heard that. He said that my lips quivered, my heart pounded, decay entered into my bones, and my knees or my legs shook. But notice his response. He says that even though that happens, he says, yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity. I'm going to have patience for this all to come. How do you respond when you know that there's something bad out on your horizon? That there is something that's really challenging that you're going to have to face? If you're like me, your mind races out there and camps at that spot. And we begin living in the future, anticipating what things are going to be like when these bad things actually occur. Habakkuk says, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to live by faith. I am going to wait patiently. And what I have called this is waiting by faith means that we live currently. We live in the present. We live in the here and now. Even though there is something that bad is going to happen out there, we don't get caught up in that and then miss out on all the things that God wants to do between now and then. So often when we race to the future, we wait impatiently for the doom that is to come. We miss out on all the good things that God wants to do right now. You know, we live in difficult times. And there's no guarantee that things are not going to get worse than they are right now. But God is still at work right now in the present. In fact, you remember when God revealed himself to Moses. The nation of Israel was living in captivity in Egypt, and God was ready to deliver them. And he met Moses in a burning bush, and he said, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh and stand before him and say, let my people go. Moses was a little intimidated. I imagine that his lips were quivering and his heart was pounding and decay entered into his bones and his legs were shaking, thinking about going before Pharaoh. And he tried to maybe get out of it by saying, well, I can't really do that. Who should I say sent me? You know, a bush in the desert? And remember how God revealed himself to Moses. He says, I am. Tell them that I am sent you. Moses had a huge challenge before him to stand before the most powerful man in the world at that time, politically, militarily. And God says, tell him, I am sent you. Not I will be, and not I was. God is a God of the present. Because the present is all we have. We have no guarantee of another breath here on earth. God, by his grace, gives it to us, but there's no guarantee. All we have is God in the present. But God wants us to live in the present with him, to live currently. And it takes faith to not run ahead to the possible calamities that may exist in the future. To live in the here and now. To enjoy God's fullness this very minute. To live presently. To live currently. Not playing what-if games about what the future might hold. Now, you might say that, wait a second, Habakkuk said that he's going to wait patiently for the calamity to come on the Babylonians. Wouldn't that be a good thing? And probably from Habakkuk's standpoint, that would be a good thing. But yet, even when there are good things in the future, we have this tendency to run forward to them and to think about them and miss out on the present. God wants us to live in the here and now. And Habakkuk also knew that before calamity would come on Babylon, it would have to come on Judah. That they would have to endure the judgment of God, the discipline of God, before the bad things that God had promised, the woes that he had spoken against Babylon would come about. He knew that there would be suffering in Judah long before that. But Habakkuk was going to live by faith, live in the present, wait patiently for that day of calamity. What do you see out in your future? Good things or bad? Unknowns, questions, concerns. I want to encourage you. Remember what... Here we go, deviating from notes again. So I don't know how we're going to get back to it, but we'll try. Do you remember when Jesus told his disciples not to worry? And he reminded them of the flowers of the field and the birds of the air. And he says, don't worry about what tomorrow holds because tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. Live in today, presently with God. It's difficult not to go off into the future, but to be able to live in the present is a mark of living by faith. Now Habakkuk goes on in verses 17 and 18, and he talks about how living by faith also involves living contentedly. He says that if there are no buds on the fig tree, no grapes on the vine, no olives on the trees, no crops in the field, no sheep in the pen, no cows in the barns. You know, this is a picture of agricultural failure. And Judah was an agrarian economy. Everything was based upon agriculture. And as a result of the Babylonian invasion, there was nothing left. Habakkuk sees what would happen to the economy. There's nothing left for the survivors. No food, nothing to sell, nothing to trade. These are very, very desperate times. But look at the response that Habakkuk says that, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. It's the only thing that those who live by faith can rejoice in when everything else is taken away. God is the only constant in life. And if we base our joy on anything but him, we will not be able to live consistently with a joyful attitude. So I need the boys and girls to come up and help me at this time. Could you? And for all that come to help me out, I've got something for you. All right. Have a seat. Hey, Nathan. All right. The first first thing that I want to ask you guys this morning is tell me about a time that you were really, really happy. Okay. Can you think of a time? Were you ever really, really happy? Nathan, you're smiling. I think you've been happy. Is anybody? You know, the first time I remember being really, really happy, I was 8 years old and I got to go to my first Major League Baseball game. San Francisco Giants were playing the New York Mets. And you know who my favorite player was? You don't know who my favorite player was. It was a guy by the name of Willie Mays, number 24. You guys remember Willie Mays? Okay. The Say Hey Kid, center fielder. And guess how many home runs he hit that game? He hit two home runs, and the Giants won 8-1. I still remember that game from 8 years old. It was a great day for me. Okay? Tell me about your, well, when were you really, really happy? Nathan, were you ever really, really happy? You can't think of any time. Yeah. Yes. When you got your first pet, what was your first pet?
A bird.
A bird. Like a parakeet or a...
A
what?
A playful bird.
Does it... What's that? The bird has a diaper? Hey, I mean that... Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Then you don't have to clean up as much. Does the bird, like, fly around the house? No, in a cage? Okay, you play with it? Cool. Okay. Do you still have the bird?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Who else was happy? Yes, Christy. When were you happy?
When I got my DS.
When you got your... Oh, is that like the PlayStation or Nintendo?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I don't do well with acronyms. Alliteration, yes, but acronyms, no. So what was your favorite game on the DS? Mario Kart. Okay. Do you still have the DS? Okay. Is it still as much fun? Okay. Good. All right. When you lost your first tooth, okay, why did that make you happy? I don't know, but it was a fun experience. Did the tooth fairy come? Yeah? Lots of money. A little bit? Okay. Okay. Okay, what was your... When you came from Papua New Guinea back to America to see your family. And that was a fun plane ride?
Yeah.
Yeah? Was it real bumpy and everything along the way or pretty smooth?
A few rides.
A few rides were bumpy. Okay. Yes, that can be great when you... Now that you've been here in America for quite a while, is it still fun? Yeah? Okay, good. Anybody else? Time when you were really happy. All right, now tell me a time when you were really, really sad. Besides having to come up here this morning. Was there a time that you were ever really, really sad? No? Yeah, when were you really sad?
When my papa died.
When your papa died? Yeah, you know, when we lose somebody that we love, that's very, very sad, isn't it? And your grandma died too? Yeah, that's hard. Anybody else been really sad? No? Good. Let's go back to talking about being happy. Do you think that the San Francisco Giants won every single game and that Willie Mays hit two home runs every game that season? He didn't. So if I would have gone to the next game, do you think I would have been just as happy?
No.
Maybe, but probably not. Let's see. Oh, Nathan, you were thinking about it, Christy. When your DS breaks, or they come out with a bigger version, like, I don't know. Huh?
I thought
you said XL. Okay. But say that your TV breaks or something. Would you still be as happy? No. Okay. How about when you have to go back to Papua New Guinea? Will you still be as happy?
Yeah.
Oh, what I want to get at is that you know, our circumstances change. You know, the things that we are happy about, that make us happy, they don't always continue, do they? But if the Bible says that we should always rejoice, are you guys rejoicing right now? Are you happy right now? You are. Okay. Good. When you go home and your parents tell you to do chores, are you supposed to rejoice then? Yeah. When you start school and you have lots of homework, are you supposed to rejoice then? Yeah. Is it easy or hard then? It's a little harder. Okay. But it's hard because if we think about our happiness or our joy being based on our circumstances, the things that we get or the things that are happening to us, then it's really, really hard. But what's one thing that never, ever changes? Can you think of something that never changes? No? Does God ever change? He doesn't, does he? God's the only thing that never, ever changes. God is the same yesterday, today, and the Bible says forever. God does not change. So if we can be happy by having God in our lives, does it matter if our DS breaks or works? No. Does it matter if we have a test tomorrow? Well, not tomorrow. Anybody go to school tomorrow? Oh, sorry. but you're happy. Okay, good. But if there are hard things at school, can you be happy? Yes, because God doesn't change. And that's why it's so important that, like for Habakkuk, he said, even though that life is just terrible, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord, it says, because God is in my life and he never changes. So we can be happy in any circumstance. Remember that God loves you. He gave himself for you. He's planning a place for you through all of eternity. And that's what can keep us happy, joyful in every single situation. You guys are really good today. Thank you. And I actually sent my assistant to Wajimaya yesterday. Thank you. She got some frozen yogurt drinks down at Wajimaya, but they're in the refrigerator right now upstairs. So I'm going to give you a coupon. And you know who Pastor Glenn is? Yeah? Okay. He used to be in the Army, and so he's standing guard at the refrigerator. But if you have one of these, then he has promised that he'll put down his rifle and open up the refrigerator and give you one. So you guys were great today. I'm going to give you each one of these, and you can take it upstairs after church. Whoop, give it to Pastor Glenn, and he's going to give you a midu-midu. No, it's not in the downstairs. It's in the upstairs. So up by the nursery. So you just go look for a guy in an Army uniform with a rifle. No, just kidding. There's no rifle. You don't need to worry about that. And he's not even in an Army uniform. But thank you, boys and girls, for helping us remember that if we rejoice in the Lord, that if our joy is in the Lord, then it doesn't matter about our circumstances. Habakkuk says that even if there's economic failure, even if there's nothing to eat, even if there's a question about whether we're going to continue on, Habakkuk says that he will rejoice. It's his conscious decision to be joyful. And I think that should be the mark of everybody that lives by faith, that we should be joyful people, people who are full of joy. And then the last thing that Habakkuk says that he's going to do, and we see that a life lived by faith is a life that we live confidently. In verse 19, he says, "The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go to the heights." Have you ever watched a deer move? Very, very graceful. Even up steep hills and rugged terrain, deer are very sure-footed, very graceful. I was thinking about how do we use the kids today in the sermon. And one of the ideas that I had that I decided against, And for those that are in charge of the liability insurance for the church, you're probably glad that I did. But I was going to take a 2x4 and put it, just lay it flat on the ground, and then have the boys and girls just walk, you know, across the 2x4. And then get two ladders and move the 2x4 up a rung. It's the same 2x4, right? But there's something about being a little bit higher off the ground that's intimidating. And after they did that, or at least the ones that didn't fall off, then they could go to the next one and the next rung and the next rung until they're, you know, maybe we span it across the lights up here. I used to work construction a long time ago and started out as a laborer, which meant that you just carried the lumber around for the guys that knew what they were doing. And I remember when we were building roofs, you know, I'd be handing plywood and 2x4s up to the guys that are walking around. And then I graduated to a truss setter. You know, I helped set the trusses. And I remember climbing up on the ladder, and you're just walking around on the plates of the walls. And it was easy because everybody's hanging on to one of these big triangular fabricated pieces of rafter material. And you hang on to it, and you walk across the tops of the walls, and then you set it into place, nail it up, and then you turn around and go back and get another one off the pile. It was easy setting it in place, but then turning around and not having anything to hang on to. And here, you know, we are 10, 12 feet in the air with this little 2x4 to walk across. And I remember my feet freezing. You know, it couldn't move. And, you know, the other guys are laughing at me you know, they say, oh, you know, it's only 12 feet. You know, if you fall, it probably won't kill you, kind of a thing. But consciously thinking, wait a second, I can do this when it's on the ground. I can do this up here. And taking one step after the other and starting to move, it's amazing what you can. Although sometimes you go to Gasworks Park. Have you ever seen the guys that are practicing the tightrope? They string it between a couple of trees, and they actually walk on this cable. I don't see how they do that. But a 2x4 or a 2x6 isn't that challenging once you start doing it. And you think, I can do this. That's what Habakkuk says, is he's going to enable me to walk like a deer. I'm going to be able to go up to the high places. Where it's really challenging, where people are afraid, but I'm going to be able to walk because the sovereign Lord is my strength. You see, we don't have confidence in our own abilities. We have confidence that if God leads us someplace, that he's going to enable us to walk. Somebody has said, where God guides, God provides. And if God leads us into a circumstance, a situation, calls us to do something, he's going to give us what we need to carry out what he's called us to do. And we can live with confidence. We don't need to live in fear. We don't need to worry about the future. We can trust that if God calls us to do something, he's going to enable us to carry it out. All we need to do is take that next step. But sometimes we're paralyzed by fear. We don't want to take that step of faith. But when we walk with confidence in him, we can trust that God will make our feet steady, make our walk secure. That's a picture of living by faith. Having patience, even when trouble looms, being able to live in the moment, to live currently. To be joyful, even when times are tough, regardless of what we have or don't have, to live contentedly, knowing that we'll always have the Lord and our joy can be in him. And then finally, to live confidently, knowing that God can enable us to do whatever he calls us to. The name of this church is Faith Bible Church. Faith should be a part of who we are. And I trust that this week, for the next 60 years, that we will be known by faith, and that faith evidencing itself in living currently, living contentedly, and living confidently, having our joy and our strength come from the Lord. And let that be the picture of who we really are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the really the dramatic transformation that took place in the life of Habakkuk as he started out complaining and criticizing the people around him and even you, and being transformed into someone who is prayerfully dependent and committed to live by faith. And I pray, God, that you would help us in these uncertain, difficult times that we live in, that we also might walk by faith. And I pray that as we do that, that you would help us to not run ahead into the future playing what-if games, but to live in the here and now with you. To be content with our circumstances, knowing that you are faithful to provide what we need and that our joy might be in you. And that you would give us confidence to take the next step in following you, whatever, however challenging it might appear, knowing that your strength is sufficient. God, help us to be people of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.